Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 is where we left off as we've been kind of traveling through Hebrews. And we know for sure that this is written certainly to all believers, but it was written specifically to those who were originally, who are Hebrews, who are Jewish descent, and who are messianic believers. And the encouragement primarily is don't go back to just the traditions and religious practices. And it's a good word for us because we can kind of slip back into kind of a religious. And religion, what's the difference between what we believe, what's being taught here is relationship, right? That's what the instructions are, is hey, stay with that relationship with the Lord. It's not about religion. Religion is always seeking to establish your own righteousness by means of your efforts or my efforts. Simply stated, that's what all religions, they're trying to get a righteous standing by some action we do, by a means of our works or efforts to appease or please God or that which we perceive to be God. And we want to have a right standing so that there is something better coming for us in the future of sorts. That's kind of the simple idea of it, wherein that is humanity trying to climb up to God. And where true Christianity tells us, the Bible tells us factually, that a real relationship with God is what gains us that better life that we want here and everlasting life. And that relationship is through the person of God, the Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us, who bought us with his blood, who did for us what we could never do for ourselves, who gives us the right standing. So the idea is God then is reaching down to you and me where we're at, connecting with us, and then bringing us into his presence because of his grace, unmerited love and favor that he's shown toward us. So simple. Gospel's not complicated. It's something it's tangible for us to grasp and to walk in and to share with others. And that's really what this letter is written to reconnect and to go back through and help them see, hey, the roots, the history, it's awesome. But it's really all pointing to one thing, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. So as we go on, we've kind of been studying through these people and these situations of faith. Great place. It'll end up giving me a great segue. Let's begin with verse 13. These all died in faith. So all the people we've been talking about, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them that we've been talking about, you know, by faith, you know, all their commitment. And we talked about faith wasn't just in faith. Faith wasn't just some concept. It was specifically its faith, belief and trust in God, the person of God. So it's not just belief in belief or belief in some idea or some system. It's belief in the person. I'm putting my trust in that person. And that's part of the simple gospel message, isn't it? It's part of the truth of the gospel message, that God loves us and that we are to place our trust in him. He initiated that relationship with you. And ours is just as we were doing just now in our worship time, ours was just a response, wasn't it, to that love. We're just responding back to his goodness and his grace toward us. These all died in faith, having, in other words, they believing in God, that God would. Now remember, the Old Testament characters that we've been reading, these people that we've been reading about, are believing by faith that God would ultimately, that he would provide that necessary sacrifice. That God, they trusted God, believing that there would be this Messiah. They, by faith, are looking forward, trusting God for good and for God's provision and care for them on into eternity. They're looking forward to the cross. You and I, by faith, similarly, are looking back on the cross. The cross is the centric portion of history, of his story. As we look back to the cross and see the cross, the finished work of Jesus Christ, we're by faith saying, yes, Jesus did that for me. They were looking forward toward the cross. But all, just like you and I, all of us, both Old Testament and New Testament individuals, it is still a matter of our belief or our trust in God being the provider of salvation. Make sense? Kind of makes sense? A little bit makes sense? It's pretty clear in the scriptures as we go through. So these all died in faith. They died believing that God would take care of them and provide them. They were trusting God out into eternity. Not having received the promises, in other words, they hadn't seen this reality of the Messiah yet. They hadn't seen that yet. That hadn't been something that was visible to them. But having seen them afar off, were assured of them. By faith, they're believing, even though it wasn't totally tangible in the sense of physically seeing it, they're by faith trusting in it. Just like you and I looking back are doing the same, believing that same truth. Having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, which is so important about truth and about trust, embracing them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So, in order for us to grasp that concept too, we have to realize that this isn't all there is. Right? That this isn't, that I'm not just working to make my house payment, to have this place to live, to, you know, buy some food, to buy a better car than I have, or better things than I had last week, and get more of this and more of that. That being the like sole objective that a lot of people spend their whole life here trying to gain things that you can't take with you. Trying to insulate themselves from the pain and the issues of this life and everything else to protect themselves from what? You see? And so none of us, you can't take any of it with you. You can send some on ahead, but you can't take it with you. You know? They confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Looking then, ultimately, this idea is that they were acknowledging that they weren't home yet. They remember living, heading toward and living in a promised land area, things that were committed to them. They were enjoying some of these things, but they knew even still they weren't home yet. Pilgrims and sojourners. We get so locked in sometimes, don't we, in the things of this life. I dare say we could probably fixate and spend the vast majority of the attention and the waking hours that have to do with only the material things of this world. I dare say that would be true. And the pleasures that can be gained and enjoyed in this present world that are but yet a fleeting thing, so quick to pass. And how important it is that we fix our sights on this eternal home that we have. In Philippians, I want to read something to you out of Philippians real quick. Verse 12 of chapter 3. Philippians says, not that I have already attained, Paul the Apostle speaking here, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward toward those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. This mindset that is to be ours as believers, fixing our sights on something past just this. There's something more for us other than just this life that we have here, this side of eternity. It's great, I mean, thinking of those who have gone on even just recently into the presence of the Lord, and that what a great hope that we have. Let's read on in verse 14. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Those who say, hey, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just a sojourner. In other words, I'm just kind of passing through. I'm not so fixated on establishing myself here and digging my roots down so far here that I don't have a heavenly perspective, that I can't see eternity. For those who say such things declare plainly they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. In other words, if they are, as people that are visiting, you know, this idea of declaring that I have this other home, this is the idea. Whenever we travel, and some of we all travel enough, and especially when we're on the mission field traveling, and especially they know what it's like when you're somewhere on a mission field experience, and you're living somewhere else, you're living in a foreign country. But even on short-term things, and even our perspective, if we took that for you, for me, as believers today, right where we live, are you and I, we are to be those kind of people that have a mission perspective, that we're here, you're here under a charter by God, right? We've been commissioned by the Lord to share something about ultimately a future homeland that we have, right? That we aren't, this isn't our homeland. But the idea is this, what's described in those couple of verses is those who would have, as when you travel sometimes, and the food's very different. And you go into a, maybe even a familiar signage place. It says 7-Eleven. But when you go into the 7-Eleven, there's no hot dogs turning on the little thing where you might get a hot dog or something. There's squid on a stick. You know, there's different things. You see different places. But you know, clearly you're not at home. You know you're not home, believe me. You clearly recognize you're not in your own environment. And what you begin to do is long for the little cheese-infused hot dogs spinning around, you know? Thinking about longing. So the idea is, really, is just this idea of longing for home. For me, it's a round loaf of cinnamon bread. About this thick sliced. No thank you on the margarine. I'll take real butter, please. Nicely toasted, just golden brown toasted. Nice, freshly squeezed orange juice, hot cup of coffee, and a warm conversation with my mom. That was home to me. And it's good to long for home, right? For many years, I could go back home, and I was very thankful until she went to be with the Lord. The idea is, do you and I, as believers, are we so obsessed with this that we don't long for that? Do you know much about that? Do you know enough about that, where you're going, that you could long for it? That's so important. Read through, as you read through, and study and learn about where you're going, where your home really is. And you will, trust me, you and I will begin, as we dig in more and more, we will begin to long for that home. This is what's being described. They weren't identifying solely with just what's physically here, but there was a desire for something past this. And we talk oftentimes about the desperation and the circumstances and some of the places that we can travel and see what's going on. And it's sometimes like, gosh, it's hard to be hopeful, you know, for somebody. What do they wake up to another day of struggling for food, wake up to another day of just horrible illness, wake up to another day. I mean, you know, you almost, gosh, yeah, just, you know, what do you wish for? You know, what do you want for them? Well, the whole thing is, what's crazy is we were talking about just the other day, you know, they're just still filled with so much joy and happiness because they've got Jesus in them. And they know this is but a fleeting thing. One day, they're going to wake up and be in eternity. No more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sense of loss. Do you long for what Jesus talked about in John 14? He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be with me always. I read a note that Pastor John had written for a friend, my friend. He'd given her a little book to read about the struggles of the loss that can happen, the grieving process. And he'd given it to my friend out in Florida, the wife. And in it, John had written, her name's Mary. Mary? Marcia? You now truly have treasure in heaven. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Truly have treasure there. And now all of a sudden, you can start to long for home. We don't have to fear it. We one day will just transfer into it. And we'll be at home. Because where he is home. This is what we get to enjoy as believers, these little slivers of it when we get together and worship together. And we get together and get into his word together. We get little slivers of enjoying it. Those of you who know, the loss of someone and know that someone you love is there. Definitively, you know that person is in the presence of God. And you say, yes, I look forward to being with them, seeing them, enjoying eternity with them, where that separation will never again transpire. Pretty radical. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Makes a little more sense when we go a little clearer into it, doesn't it? A little further into it. And truly, if they had called to mind that country which they'd come out of, that place where they'd come from, they would have had opportunity to return. But, verse 16, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Not ashamed. I think the simple fact that because there's a fixation on the eternal home and the belief, the faith, the trust that this is real, and knowing that, God says, you know what? Because of that, I'm not ashamed to call you mine. That the thought that the creator of the universe looks at you by name and knows you by name. Now, you may or may not like the president of the United States, but you respect the office held, right? We respect the office held. Maybe pick a favorite president. How's that? I don't know. Pick something like that. But that person walks past and says hello to you by name and stops and speaks with you and says, how's things going? Do you realize the connection of the creator of the universe with you personally? And he knows you by name. He wants to interact with you one-on-one, and that's through prayer presently. One day it'll be face-to-face, right? Radical reality. This is what faith holds for us. The thought is today, you and I, all of us as Christians, truly are missionaries to this world in which we live. I don't care if it's just all, I don't even have a car. I do have a car. I'm saying if I didn't even have a car and I just walked to my place of work or whatever, whoever you see between here and there is your mission field. The people you work with, that's your mission field.